Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.
Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, your weekly dose of good cigars and the good news. This podcast is brought to you by St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Incensing the temple today, Father Scott Mansfield, pastor and former rock radio DJ, Tony Willamitis, the guy who knows everything, and Will Tapia, the guy who thinks he knows everything. Now, here's your host, Father Scott.
It is Holy Smokes Catholic Review.
Holy Smokes!
Father Scott, along with William Tapia and Tony Willamitis, kind of, sort of, eventually he's on his way. At least that's what he says. Mm-hmm. When he texted us just a few moments ago, said he's on his way.
Right.
So we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. We wait in anticipation. Much like Advent. I feel like that's a good metaphor for Advent there, Father Scott.
What do you mean?
Well, we're waiting in anticipation for Tony, much like we are for the birth of Christ.
Oh, I get you.
There you go.
And the birth of Christ might come before Tony gets here. Now, speaking of Tony, by the way, you know, he's limited this month. He's going to be, this is going to be his last podcast for a while, mm-hmm. because he is on his way to Indiana to take care of his mother, who, his mother, you know, is, she's, you know, well, what can we say, right? She's, she's elderly and needs some care. So he's on his way to take, as a good son, you know, would do, he's on his way to take care of his mom out there in Indiana. So, in his absence, we will have...
some very special guests.
Well, yeah, I suppose we could say maybe special. We'll find out how special they are when they're actually when they're here. Like, well, I was talking to Deacon Dave Elvis.
Hey, man. Hey, man.
Yeah, he wants to be on.
I promise for all of our listeners who don't know who Deacon Dave is, all of these impersonations are going to make sense to you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man. So, yeah, man.
That's right, man.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Funny when he sings the Exalted on Easter.
No, don't.
Exalt heavenly powers, the sovereign Lord is coming. Rejoice, heavenly powers, sing choirs of angels.
That's it, baby. You're off the payroll.
That is exactly how he sounds.
So funny. And but such a good dude. And by the way, a brilliant, like a genius of a human being.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know?
He really is.
He just got back from an epic pilgrimage too.
Yeah.
Out to the Holy Land and to Rome. Mm-hmm. So yeah, super cool. We have a lot to talk about with him.
If
he comes on the podcast after hearing our impersonations of him just now.
Yeah. He's kind of like, you know, in the Elvis movies. You ever watch Elvis movies? How Elvis just breaks into psalm at random, mm-hmm. you know? Hey, Dave, how was that trip to Rome?
It was good.
Hey, he'd be good. You should feature him on a song. Wouldn't that be funny to do a Holy Smoke song, but make it like in the style of Elvis and then have Deacon Dave sing it?
That'd be kind of fun. We could do that.
That would be so good, man.
So let's see. Then George Myerson Jr. wants to be on the program, mm-hmm. so we will be happy. He's the guy, by the way, who is friends with Paul Thigpen, who wrote The Rapture Trap. Mm-hmm. So we want to get him on, Paul Thigpen, that is. So yeah, we could get George on and then some other folk, see who else wants to be on the show. I think Tony's going to be gone until after Christmas.
Yeah. I think he said in about a month or so.
Yeah. So,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll have to come up with a list of people.
Mm-hmm. So we've
got like one or two friends.
Yeah. I mean, maybe one or two.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe two. Maybe more like one.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Okay. So how was your week? Weekend?
It was good. Yeah. No, it was a good week. It's, you know, December is kind of a funny time because it seems like things either really slow down before Christmas or they really ramp up. So it's kind of that weird in between. Everybody's getting ready for the holiday and stuff like that, you know, and Yeah, it's just crazy, man. But yeah, how about you? We had a big event at the parish this past week.
We have this thing, and you know, it's the third time we've done it this night in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of parishes do it, have been doing it. Also, Protestant churches, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you kind of take, you know, your parish hall, or in our case, it's our church, you know, because we only got the one building. So we had to empty everything, all the chairs and everything, take the sacrament out, and then you kind of, you know, set it up like a little Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
Like with shops and
yeah.
little roadways and, you know,
so cool.
Well, yeah. and everything. And then in each of the little, you know, the huts or the little tents, you have artisans, and the kids come by and they learn how to, you know, make things, or, you mm-hmm. know, a lot of clay going on, you know, making pots and stuff.
Yeah.
So we just had a massive crowd. There were so many kids. It was unbelievable. So fun. So it's like all our families, because, mm-hmm. you know, we have young families with a lot of kids. They all showed up and. Mm-hmm. Just so much fun that was on Friday night for a night in Bethlehem.
You said it was packed in there, right?
It was like just jam, I mean, like between we started at 6, so between 6:30 and 8,
mm-hmm.
just jam packed.
That's so awesome. Well, it's, I mean, it's, you know, like you said, it probably, I think, has a root in the Protestant. I mean, this particular like night in Bethlehem has a root in like our Protestant brothers and sisters. However, right, as we know, the first nativity was brought about in Greccio, Italy, by St. Francis of Assisi.
That's right.
And 800 years ago.
And it was a live nativity.
It was a live nativity.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of live, we have the live nativity at our night in Bethlehem. So mm-hmm. we have, you know, it was James and Allison.
Right.
And their newborn baby.
That's so awesome.
We're the Holy Family. So we have like the... You know, the little manger set up,
yeah.
and so that's, you make the rounds, you go into the back in the corner,
mm-hmm.
and you go into the tent, and there they are.
Well, shout out to James, Allison, the baby. That's so awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's I think it's a great way to kind of ground the nativity, and you know, not only have like the spiritual aspect, the spiritual component of it, as we do during Christmas, but also that this was a real event. This was, yes, this was a spiritual event that happened and changed the course of salvation history, but in a real way, it was a real event. It happened mm-hmm. in time. It happened in yeah. a place, you know, it kind of, concretizes that whole thing. And that was why St. Francis started the live nativity
right.
in Greccio, mm-hmm. was to show that, you know, for people who couldn't make it to the Holy Land, for people who could never do these sorts of things, that this was a real powerful event, you know, that Christ was born in a manger mm-hmm. surrounded by donkeys. Did we have a donkey?
No, we had no.
Gotta bring a donkey, man.
No, had you shown up, we would have had a donkey.
I knew it.
You know.
Oh man, get out of here.
Yeah, no.
What are you trying to say? Can you elaborate on that, please?
No, but what if you brought like real animal? Wouldn't that be like really stinky and kind of messy?
Can you imagine trying to clean that up for the next day for Mass? Because that was on Saturday or Friday?
It was Friday night.
Friday, okay.
Yeah, and then I had a funeral the next day.
Oh, wow. So everybody had to clean all everything up. And
so it was crazy. So we went from that
mm-hmm.
to the next day we had our women's group Fiat, which is always a very popular thing.
Right.
And then we had to tear down for that and then set up for the funeral Mass.
Wow.
And then after that, get ready for the 4 o'clock Mass.
And this is one of the reasons, ladies and gentlemen, why we're trying to build a new church, you know, and, you know, I know we talk about this every podcast, but it is interesting, you know, just trying to make use of a multi-use of one space and how crazy that can be at times like this. But no, I mean, it's an epic production. I've seen the Night in Bethlehem props before where they have the big palm trees. And I mean, just to put into perspective, mm-hmm. the entire like floor plan of our church is covered with like activities for the kids and things like that. It looks like it transforms in the course of a couple of hours to like a town. It looks like a town.
Yeah. And the kids have a blast.
Cool.
The kids and their parents are having fun. And they're hanging out with each other, you know, and making new friends. It's just a really cool thing. Night in Bethlehem. Now, you think that's cool. This coming Thursday night. Now, if you're listening to this after Thursday night.
That's December the 12th.
Yeah. So so this will be our third annual celebration for mm-hmm. Our Lady. Right? Third? Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Exactly.
So it's cool. So we have Vespers, and then we follow it up with Mass. Whole thing begins at 5:45. We have Mass. Then we process with the image of Our Lady, go around the church, and then we go outside mm-hmm. with the procession. Then we place Our Lady on the high altar. We have this build this big kind of altar.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the consecration. We will this year reconsecrate our parish and our families to the heart of Our Lady. Then we come back in. Mariachi's playing, food, you know, we Biscotti Cheetos, enchiladas, pozole, you name it. We got it. Tamales, yeah. Everything. And we just feast out.
It's so good. No, it's one of my favorite times of year. Well, not only because she's patroness of the Americas, but also I think, especially here in New Mexico, there's such a devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe. You know, my grandmother grew up at a church in her small town, northern New Mexico, that was Our Lady of Guadalupe. And so it just reminds me of kind of a bygone era and some of the faith of our ancestors and stuff like that. It's just so beautiful, man.
So awesome.
And the spot where we build the high altar and place the image of Our Lady, that is the spot, or, you know, our rough approximation of the spot of where our altar will actually be in the new church. So it's a really cool thing that we get to kind of begin to venerate this place and this spot, this consecrated ground, even now, even while we still haven't laid the cornerstone for our new church yet. Just a great, I think, image. And I just love that. I love that idea. So,
yeah, it's going to be fun. It always is.
Yeah.
Always a lot of fun. All right. I'm looking to my left. Where's Tony? He ain't here yet.
No, he's not.
How rude. How very rude.
He's not here yet.
Very rude. Well, maybe he's just kind of priming us for when he's not going to be here.
Yeah.
But we should be used to it for the entire, 8 years that he was in Hawaii.
Yeah, I know exactly. So he'll be in a colder place this year.
Oh,
Indiana,
yeah.
Indiana is a cold place in the wintertime, man.
Holy, I know. Smokes. I lived there.
Yeah.
2 years.
Jeez.
Yeah.
All the snow.
But I had fun, man. I had no money. I was like poor.
Really?
And I moved out there as radio, right? So this is like prior. That's where I kind of found my vocation, priesthood, through a Monsignor Moran. So I moved out there, this little apartment, and with no furniture. I had a television.
Wow.
So I slept on the floor, sat on the floor, everything. But I got to tell you, I had the most fun.
You weren't in Indianapolis, right?
No, I was outside of it.
Terre Haute?
Yeah, Terre Haute. It's about an hour outside.
Oh yeah, it's a fun place, man. I was out there last year for the new year for SEEK, the big conference that Focus does every year. I went on behalf of the podcast, which was a lot of fun. And it was interesting because like downtown Indy now is like this big convention. It's a huge convention center, and like they do all these conventions and stuff like that, and all these restaurants and whatever. So the whole downtown area comes to life when a convention rolls through, and then after the convention, it's like dead. So it was a really weird thing. I guess I guess people don't hang out in downtown Indianapolis anymore. Mm-hmm. They kind of hang out.
I thought they did. Every time I've been there, it was jam-packed.
Well, somebody said something about this place called Fountain Park where all the locals hang out. I don't know. If you're from Indy, tell us where to go.
I think like the tourists, though, go downtown. It's kind of a cool place.
Yeah.
And there's a fine cigar shop right on the corner downtown. You've been there.
That's right. Nikki Blaine's.
Nikki Blaine's, right?
Yeah, Nikki Blaine's was a blast. That's right. Yeah.
Let's see. So anything else, happening? Let's anything going on in the church? I'm just kind of scrolling through New Advent, man. And then there's sign. I think I mentioned signs.org.
Oh yeah.
Sign.org is a cool little site. I'm just looking through the phone here.
We don't have Tony here to talk forever.
I know, right? That's a cool thing about Tony. He just goes on. You just sit back and smoke your cigar. Mm-hmm. And then every 20 minutes or so, you chime in. and then he cuts you off when you're chiming in. That's the thing about that. Cool, man. Decayed papyrus hints at more Dead Sea Scrolls remain to be discovered.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Tell me more. Because we, of course, saw the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Oh, I don't know. That's just the headline.
Oh, well, tell me more.
You want me to read the article?
Well, you can't just say the headline and then move on. Okay.
Why? I'm just now seeing the headline for the first time. No. The Pope's new apostolic letter on nativity scene really is refreshingly good.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
Huh?
No, I have to say, dude, that reminds me of seeing the Dead Sea Scrolls in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
We went up that one time, you, Tony, and I. That was so cool, man. That was one of the coolest things I have done ever, seeing the Dead Sea Scrolls in person. Apparently it's a traveling exhibit, so if it comes near your town, you know, go. You must go. It's so dope.
Yeah, it's dope.
Dope, dude.
Dope. Let's see. I'm just reading through some of the headlines now. Not much going on, I guess, in the headlines.
Well, that's probably good, isn't it?
Here's a headline. The U.S. bishops must clear up this communion confusion. You think?
Well, and at the end of the day, right, we know it's not confusing, right?
Yeah. What?
It's not confusing. I mean, what? Well, I guess I should say, what is that article
stating? Well, it shouldn't be. I don't know. You want me to read the?
No,
I haven't read the article.
Saying,
it's
like,
just
like,
the headlines.
Just reading headlines.
Okay. Are we not confused about who and should receive the Eucharist and when and all of that?
Yeah.
When it shouldn't be confusing because we just have the teaching of the church. Read the catechism. Okay. And the canon law, poof, there's your there's what we teach about the Eucharist.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
So it shouldn't be...
It's not confusing.
Exactly. Shouldn't be confusing.
I'm not confused. Are you confused, Padre?
Hey, so when I... Here's another... this is from David Mills. When I was a kid, the Christians I knew liked rules too much. Hmm? That's an interesting... I'll have to read that one. That particular item. The rise of birth control and the decline of civilization. That's going to be a great article.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, so I think we had, by the way, speaking of which, the lowest birth rate, like in history or some
really, you're
crazy
kidding me.
Thing. God. And that's going to be dangerous for the future.
I know.
We're going to have no kids to pay into Social Security.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I read this other article about as baby boomers begin to retire and things like that, there's not enough millennials to refill that workforce, which is a scary thing if true. You know what I mean? It's just... It's stuff that like that we laid the groundwork for these things, man. Like 40 years ago, we laid the groundwork for these sorts of problems that we're having in society today. And we act shocked. We act shocked when we see the fruit of our labors, you know, when we see the fruit of the contraception culture. And it is a culture, dude. Like, you know, the culture of contraception, the culture of abortion, the culture that that pushes like premarital sex, and we're shocked when all of a sudden we read these statistics about, there's no, you know, there's nobody being born.
Yeah. Right.
Why are we shocked by those sorts of things? We did it to ourselves, you know? And that's what, I mean, yeah, it's a bigger conversation of like, what does it mean to restore the family and how Catholics are called to restore the family and restore culture. It's so important, you know?
Yeah. Well, and think about it. Once the death rate like doubles the birth rate again, you know, think about it. People contracept and abort. Why? For selfish reasons, really.
Right.
Because if we have these many kids, if we have all these kids, then we won't be able to make ends meet. We won't be able to take vacations. Think about it. It's true. It's true. I'm not lying. A lot of people contracept or abort because they want to live in bigger houses, take more vacations, have better, faster cars.
Right.
Okay. Well, guess what? So if the birth rate, if the death rate doubles the birth rate, mm-hmm. Eventually, guess what? There's no one paying into Social Security. So we're going to think about the consequences of it.
Well, it's obviously a total distortion too, right? Because at the end of the day, there's no just reason ever to kill a human being, right? So, and to me, that is like the end all. That is the be all. And that in this argument about abortion, it doesn't matter. Like that, like a human life is so incredibly sacred and so incredibly. sacred. What else can you say but sacred? You know, God-given, that there's no excuse. There's no excuse to take the life of an unborn child. I mean, any life, for that matter.
And then the other thing, too, with contraception, it's like, well, okay, we can disagree with the church on this. Right. Then what else? You can just disagree with the church on anything.
Yeah.
Therefore, is disagreement or rebellion against Christ himself.
Yeah. No, exactly. And I mean, it's so multifaceted, right? I mean, we know that also that, you know, sex is sacred. Sex is sacred. It's God-given. And contraception distorts that. It completely distorts that as well, you know, and makes it a utility, a utility instead of something that's meant to be life-giving. That's why it exists. That's why it's
procreative.
That's exactly right.
And you take away the procreative aspect. It becomes just, like you said, utility. It's just a fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. You take something sacred and holy and reduce it down to just an entertaining thing.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
And it leads to, you know, a divorce, and it's just not a good thing. Yeah, that's that. So I'm looking to my left, and I still see no Tony Willamitis.
I don't know.
Very sad. I think he's abandoned us.
He may have.
He doesn't love us anymore, man.
That's true.
Yeah.
He did. He texted me. He's going to be later than he thought, too.
Yeah. How rude. Very rude.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, okay. Anyway. So we've kind of went off the rails a little bit there, but
that's okay.
That's okay, right?
Well, we don't have rails to begin with.
We have no rails.
Man.
It's a podcast. We do whatever we want. So, again, Thursday night at St. John Vianney, it's going to be, or if you're listening to this after the 12th, it was. Mm-hmm. But as we record this, it will be Thursday night at St. John Vianney, Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. You know, remembering the apparitions, you know, when our mm-hmm. Blessed Mother appeared to Juan Diego back in 1531 on Tepeyac Mountain near Mexico City in Guadalupe, right? So amazing thing, you know, if you want to read a really awesome story, well, any of the apparitions, you know, that have been approved.
Yeah.
Not only Guadalupe, but Fatima is fascinating. Mm-hmm. Akita, Japan, which is, yeah, it's approved. Lourdes, obviously. Fascinating, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and a great movie, too. Speaking of Lourdes, you know, it'd be Song of Bernadette.
Mm-hmm.
And then, too, there was a really cool movie that I have. I think it's called Our Lady of Fatima.
Is that the animated one?
No, it's not animated. Okay. It's actually acted. It's, I think it's just called Our Lady of Fatima. But it's a great movie. I love it.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right, so since Tony's not here, I say we go ahead and do a cigar review. If he wants to catch up to us, then he's welcome to. But you know what?
What?
He's been under the weather, so I doubt he's been... Oh, wait a second. Didn't he tell us last time that he's not smoking cigars because...
He...
Advent.
That's right. Yeah. Or was it... I know he gave up alcohol for...
No, he gave up smoking as a
smoking
kind
too.
Of a... You know, a penance.
Oh.
All right.
Look at that. So he wouldn't even need a cigar of you anyway.
All right. So
there you go, man.
All right. So we're going to launch in at this very moment.
Can you pass me your the measurement thing?
You like to smoke cigars. You wish your girlfriend would.
Okay.
All right.
Hey. Cigar review time. I have, guess what? I have no cigar review.
Oh, are you kidding me? After all that lead up, we need content this week. We're like,
I have nothing.
Well, okay. Has the Padron changed at all?
No, listen. So I walked into Total Wine and I'm going to buy this today. So I'm going to get a cigar to review for tonight.
Uh-huh.
Right. So I see they have box loads of Padron 7000s on sale.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What? Like on sale for what?
But like $180.
What is it normally, two?
Like $230.
What? $50 off? Are you kidding
me? So I bought a box.
What? Where is this box?
There you go.
Where's this box? Is it Christmas time?
It's Christmas time
for Holy Smokes. Sleigh bells ring.
Listen, I'll do the music. You just do the cigar review.
Okay. So as promised last week, I am smoking this gift from Tony Willamitis, who I was hoping to enjoy in front of him, but obviously he's not here yet. So I'm smoking the Oliva Series V Reserva Limitada Maduro. So it's good, man. I think it's about a 50 ring gauge. It's a box press cigar. It is 5 inches when I lit it. So it's about 4.5. I've smoked about an inch of the cigar so far. And as true to all Olivas, it is phenomenal. Phenomenal, phenomenal cigar. It's got a good burn. It's just so funny. It was smoking like perfectly like for this entire podcast.
And
like in the last 2 minutes, it just started to kind
of
see like it's got the little shelf going, bit of a shelf.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try relighting it after this.
But again,
review.
I'm telling you now, I kind of learned like I would try to light, you know, when they'd have those runner things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would try to like light up the part that was burning.
Berman.
So, you know what I learned, though, on these Padrones is I just let them go, and eventually they just straighten out.
Yeah. No, and I think good cigars will, so I don't know. Maybe I'll just see how it goes, and if it gets crazy, I'll let you guys know during the recording. Mm. But, no, I mean, great draw. It's a Maduro, so it's got a little bit of a spice. It's not super peppery, as I would think some other Maduros I've smoked before. It's got a little bit of a spice. A little bit of a peppery, but it's not too bad at all. Very earthy, very like dark chocolatey kind of cigar. Mm-hmm. I'm really super enjoying the stick. I have no idea where Tony got it or what he paid for it, but no, as always, the Oliva Melanio is phenomenal. So
my neighbor gave me this Monte Cristo Habana, supposedly from...
Really?
Yeah. However,
wow.
And I said, where did this come from?
Uh-huh.
Because 99% of the time when someone says, I've got you a Cuban cigar, It's fake. It's from Mexico. They were vacationing in Puerto Vallarta. They bought it off some street vendor, and I guarantee it's not from Cuba.
Wait, that one he got off a street vendor?
No. He says this actually came from Cuba.
Really?
So, yeah, wow. He said this is from Cuba. So we'll see.
Cuba.
I'll smoke it next week.
That's cool. Why didn't you take in that today, man?
But, you know, people get excited. Oh, I got you a Cuban, Padre. And then it's like, where?
Yeah.
In Juarez, you know.
Yeah.
Dude. Oh, yeah. No.
One time, I was in Rome. And I mean, so anywhere that's not the U.S., you can walk into a cigar shop and buy Cubans off the rack. And it's funny. So I was in Rome and I was like, all right. So I stopped in this, you know, they call their tobacco shops tobacchi, just a tobacchi. And so some of them just have cigarettes. Some of them have more pipes. Some of them have more cigars. It just depends. Like, it's just so random. And so I went to this one tobacchi and I asked him for a cigar. And I was asking him, you know, my really poor Italian, for a Cuban. He's like kind of confused. He goes, oh, okay. And he, you know, tells me to wait a second, goes back into the back of the shop and opens his freezer and had this brick of cigars in his freezer wrapped in like four Ziploc bags and then gave me one of those. And needless to say, after it thawed out, I smoked it and that thing exploded and tasted terrible. I am almost positive that was fake because it's legal. It is totally legal in Rome. So yeah. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that whole thing was fake. And yeah, I mean, that's what always happens, especially like, you know, you get these people who are like, oh, I bought this cigar without a label on a beach in Mexico. You know, it was all cash only, you know, the guy wouldn't take a card. So I don't know. I mean, it's such a fake, and there's a big black market for cigars, even to the point where like they'll replicate the label. They'll have like, so you have these people who like will break down the fake labels and break down the fake, you know, codes and stuff like that on these cigars. So it's a total market for sure because it's one of those things, right? Because it's illegal in the U.S. Oh, it makes it that much sweeter to find when you're out of the U.S. Yeah. You know,
come on.
I know. I don't know. I smoked a bunch of Cubans and they're good cigars. Don't get me wrong. Like if you buy a high quality actual Cuban cigar, it's a tasty cigar, but it's nothing that I don't know if I could pick it out in a lineup. You know,
yeah, I don't think that special, but okay. But if you want to give me one, I'll try it.
Yeah, maybe this one will convert you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, is that it for your cigar review?
Yeah. No, that's it. I smoked that. I'm trying. I don't think I really smoked anything this week. The weather has been kind of weird. So.
I got to tell you. And okay. So this morning when I woke up, I looked out the window. I was filled with joy because it was one of those days. It was just overcast and dark and dreary, and it's a rarity for us here, so
yeah,
just love it.
I was surprised it didn't snow, man.
Well, it did, like 8,000 feet and above.
Oh, nice.
So they're getting like 12 inches of snow, like in Santa Fe.
So the ski resorts rejoice, and then down here in Albuquerque, we just got rain.
Yeah, but it was warm today. I thought it was like I was walking around a sweatshirt. It was warm.
Yeah, I think it got up when I left my house today. I think it was like 52 or something like that.
So, wow, that's pretty warm.
No, these are cool days for sure. These are super cool days. Hopefully the rain will stave off when we do our Guadalupe procession. Mm-hmm. remember last year
it was horrible.
Rained, but it like it did the weird freezing rain.
Yeah, it was
where
horrible.
It was like where the raindrops actually freeze and like hit like ice on the ground.
Yeah, that was a terrible day.
That was a crazy day.
Yeah, but this year's gonna be nice.
We had the poor mariachis try and go outside.
Well, no, but this year is gonna be just fabulous.
Oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we never know out there in Rio Ranch. You got the wind whipping around the corners and stuff. Sometimes, please. You know, we've got no natural like land or structure barriers. So which is why we need a new church to protect the homes around us from the
exactly.
wind buffer.
Well, you got nothing but desert to the west.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's cool. I mean, it's cool. It's like wide open spaces, but when that weather picks up, it's like something else, man.
Yeah. And all that dust and the entire desert goes airborne.
We get like those those storms that they do in Egypt, you know?
Haboobs. Those are called haboobs.
Yeah.
They're called haboobs.
Yeah.
And they get them in Phoenix. And they're huge. All right, so that's our cigar review. Listen, no song today because I'm just lazy. No game show because I'm very lazy. I've had it with the New England Patriots.
That's right. Yeah,
I'm done. I'm finished.
Well, they lost today, dude.
They have no front line whatsoever. Oh, they got the greatest defense ever. No, they don't.
dude.
So you know who I'm going for? I'm telling you, the Bills, man.
Are you really?
Bills are playing.
Who do
they? They lost today, mm-hmm. but they lost. They almost won.
Who'd they lose to?
To Baltimore.
Oh well, of course. I mean, it's Baltimore.
I know, but they've been blowing teams out, and they almost beat. They almost crazy. The Bills almost won today.
That's crazy.
So I'm gonna. I'm telling you, man, they got a great little team.
So who do you think is gonna? Who's your Super Bowl prediction?
Oh, okay. This week. Okay, I think it's gonna be here's. Okay. Everybody's saying San Francisco. I'm going. It's gonna be the Saints.
Okay. Really? Didn't the Saints lose to?
San Francisco today.
Today.
Yeah, barely.
Okay.
But I'm predicting the Saints.
Okay.
So I'm going to say the Saints and, okay, either Buffalo or Kansas City.
Really?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the Ravens.
You don't think the Ravens are going to make it in there?
All right. Okay. That could be the Ravens.
That quarterback is nuts, man.
And if it's the Ravens, then the Ravens are going to win. That guy is amazing. He's like Superman. Have you seen his neck? It's bigger than his head.
Dude, I know. We were laughing watching the highlights of the game because it's literally he doesn't have a neck. It goes straight from like the end of his shoulders like to his ear.
But he's amazing.
It like forms these triangles, just connecting his ears to his shoulders.
I know, he's like Superman.
Unbelievable. But
see, that's the problem with these running quarterbacks though, because mm-hmm. he's, you know, it's like RG3 and then
right.
Michael Vick was the same way. So they start out, they're red hot, no one can catch them. They're racking up all these yards running, and then they get hit.
They get injured,
mm-hmm. and then their running days are over. Now that's just they're just regular quarterbacks.
Yeah, because Drew Brees doesn't ever run, right?
For the most part, not really. No, but he's a great quarterback.
Yeah,
great quarterback.
Laser sights, man.
Yeah. So I am going to. That's my two. Well, if I have okay, I got to narrow it down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have to make this bold prediction.
Mm-hmm.
See how right I am. Okay, I will go with the Ravens.
Okay.
And the Saints. In the Super Bowl.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Let's see how right I am.
Okay.
Write this down so we don't forget.
Okay, Ravens and the Saints.
Ravens and the Saints. So in February or whenever the bowl game is, we will see just how correct I am at this time.
Ravens versus the Saints.
Yeah.
Do you know where the Super Bowl is going to be this year?
Miami.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That'll be not cold. Usually it's freezing for the Super Bowl.
When? Never.
Isn't it? No, didn't they do one in New York a couple years ago?
Yeah, that was one in New York. Usually, okay, and then they did one in Minnesota inside. It's in LA.
They have Phoenix. That's the US Bank Stadium, right, where they close the top?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So they usually do them in Phoenix or in LA, places like that. Miami.
They don't ever come down to the Lobo Stadium.
I'm
going to
call,
right?
You know what? I'm calling my friend Scott Chapin, who does the voiceover for the top of this program.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, he lives in Fort Lauderdale.
So are you going to go? You're going to go to the Super Bowl?
I'm going to call him tomorrow and see what he's doing.
That would be wild, wouldn't it? You could do a live podcast with Scott Chapin from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Man.
That would be fun.
We got to have him on the program whenever he comes back to New Mexico because, that's like, he's got such a cool voice, man.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, Catholic Review.
That's right. I look to my left and I don't see Tony Willamitis.
No. No, Tony.
Bonehead.
This podcast could be called Where's Tony?
Where's Tony? There you go. Where's Tony?
Where's Tony? I don't know.
Again, I will do the song.
I know. Okay, so. I know. I keep trying. And
so, so let's get to the gospel, shall we?
Let's do it. Gospel.
Okay, now listen. So the 8th, normally it would be, right, the Feast of Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception, but because it fell this year on Sunday and the Sunday of Advent takes precedence, so the church bumps the Immaculate Conception to Monday, but it's not a day of obligation.
Mm.
Yeah, so
such a good feast day, man. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna have to relight because it's shelfing. Look at that shelf; it's shelved worse. You see how it's getting that little hook
very
there?
Sad.
So it's a great feast day. I went down to Immaculate Conception Paris. And I live basically. I'm their next door neighbor,
mm-hmm.
and so I walked over. They had their parish fiestas today,
mm-hmm.
first time ever in their like 100 and some years. I guess mm-hmm. they've ever had a fiesta. So
really,
so it was cool. They had this this New Mexico. And I can't remember the name of the band, but they like won one of the Las Quince Grandes, one of the major 15 bands in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. It was fun, man.
Oh,
it was cool, and they got rained out in the courtyard, so they brought it inside of the gym. So
Hey, did you watch that movie, that El Camino movie?
I did.
Is it good?
Yeah. I mean,
how do I get it?
Netflix.
I don't have Netflix.
No, that you do need Netflix. And the Apple, so Father said a couple weeks ago, you got an Apple TV. And so what's hard is that you can't stream it through the Apple TV because Netflix and Apple don't, I don't know that they really play nice with each other. So Netflix wants it to you to stream it through their TV app, but I don't think your TV has that app because it's an older TV.
They hate each other, maybe.
Yeah, so they don't play nice, but yeah, it's on Netflix. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it to our viewers, but there's no secret I'm a Breaking Bad fan, ashamedly so.
Yeah, and you watched that Better Call Saul?
Yeah,
that's coming back, right?
Yeah. I think I want to say it's coming out in like a month or so, dude.
I quit watching it.
Why?
I don't know. I missed like 2 weeks, and then I just quit.
Oh, come on, man.
Because,
hey,
you know how to.
Hey, guess who's in season one, episode one?
Of
Better Call Saul.
What?
Yours truly.
You?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have any speaking lines, but I'm an extra. If you look, you got to look for me.
Yeah.
But you'll see me.
Yeah.
I'm Guy at restaurant.
That's
number
exciting.
Four, number 15.
Guy at restaurant.
It's a very
ever look up a movie on you Google it and then it goes to cast.
Yeah.
And then it says it's like Guy in restaurant.
It's like all these people who tag themselves in like the IMDb profile. Yeah.
Guy in restaurant.
Firefighter number 14. Firefighter with mustache. it's like
that's funny.
You know, I think they won an Emmy that season, so I want you to know I take credit for that. I think I was the hinge point of why they got their Emmy.
Yeah.
You know, I put in a good word at the Academy for them, so.
So a friend of mine watched that movie, The El Camino, and he said, I didn't get it. So what he did, because he watched Breaking Bad when it first came out, so he watched this El Camino movie. He said, I just didn't get it. There was all kinds of gaps and holes. So what he did was went back and started watching the Breaking Bad series again.
Yep.
And then he said everything started making sense to him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh man, no. So what I tried to do in preparation for El Camino is I rewatched Breaking Bad as well before it premiered, before El Camino came out. And then I bought tickets to see it at the Chemo Theater. That was cool, man. So I went to the premiere at the Chemo Theater. They had done like a limited edition set of tickets for Albuquerque people. Mm. It was neat, dude. It was super neat.
Wow.
And it just shows, you know, apart from the story, it's funny to be talking about it on a Catholic podcast because Breaking Bad and all that stuff is not the most shining example, but it's got some beautiful New Mexico landscapes, man. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you what, they really showcase our state.
You know that gas station?
Which one?
In Breaking Bad, the gas station.
Oh, where he blows up the car?
The gas station where he owns the...
Oh, the car wash, you mean.
The car... What did I say?
Gas station.
No, the car wash. Car wash, okay?
Yeah.
I grew up right behind it.
Yeah. It was an octopus, and then it's Mr. Car Wash.
Yeah,
and for the show, it was...
Mr. Car Wash.
A1 car.
Yeah, right. Mr. Car Wash.
Yeah.
Just an okay car wash. Anyway, so the gospel would be from Matthew 3:1-12. This is the second Sunday of the season of Advent. Okay, so here we go. John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophets Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees, ooh, I love this. This is awesome. Mm. When he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruits as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these very stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that does not bear fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barns, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire."
Mm.
There you go.
Amen. This is such an interesting passage because it sounds so weird, I think, to 21st century listeners. You know, you hear about John the Baptist. I mean, he sounds to our 21st century ears, he sounds like a crazy person, right? Like he's, you know, even in this gospel, and we hear him mentioned in the synoptic gospels. So we have this kind of really, really epic image of him. But so, I mean,
well, that's the case, by the way, with all the prophets,
right?
Read about Ezekiel and all these guys. I mean, just Zechariah.
Exactly. Yep. That is exactly the point that I'm making, is that, you know, John the Baptist in camel's hair, like with the leather belt and looking all disheveled and bugs and all this stuff and eating locusts and wild honey. Like he sounds like a mad person, but right to the Jews of his time, this is exactly in the lineage and in the line of all the prophets. Okay. So John the Baptist, I find it really interesting too, with like what Matthew says, how he quotes Isaiah, and he writes that John the Baptist is fulfilling this prophecy of Isaiah, right? And what makes me laugh is when people, and this is just a little bit of a side tangent, but when people ask me about St. John Vianney, I oftentimes quote the same passage from Isaiah because I think it like is us as well, right? So John the Baptist is a voice crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Isn't that in a certain way kind of what we're doing out there?
Yeah, because we're out in the desert. Yeah.
Middle of the desert, preparing the way of the Lord.
Yep, that's right. That's right. That's very true.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's out in the desert preparing the way for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a crazy. What you're trying to tell us, he was kind of like a, but today he'd be arrested.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like a crazy person, doesn't he?
Well, yeah.
Seems like a crazy person, like a madman.
But in that time.
Well, he had to have been seen as a prophet during that time, right?
Of course.
Because people.
And he had disciples.
Exactly. So people weren't like brushing him off, weren't saying, oh, this guy's. I mean, maybe there were some people, right? But, you know, I mean, we do know that there were people who actually went to him and actually were getting baptized and had, and were following him and were trying to live with him out in the desert. And it's really curious to me that the Pharisees and the Sadducees end up over there with him,
yeah,
too. That's then, really interesting to me.
But what I love is what he says to them, how he says it and mm-hmm. what he says to them, you brood of vipers. And you can hear like venom in his voice saying that, right? Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? And then this is, here it is, the clincher. Because you know what? They were all, what was our Lord's criticism of the Sadducees and the Pharisees? That they were all about a show.
Exactly.
They like to stand on the street corners with their, you know, widened phylacteries and their whatever, prayer beads, whatever, mm-hmm. right? And they like to be seen.
Yep.
And they like to be, you know, it's a Pharisee or a Sadducee or, you know, oh, they're so learned and important.
They're so pious. Yeah.
So pious. And, they didn't produce fruits.
Right.
So he says, you brood of vipers, love this, man. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance.
Yes. So why were they there? Right. So why were the Pharisees and the Sadducees there? Was it A, to go criticize John the Baptist, to stand on the sidelines and criticize him? Or, you know, I mean, they were also in control of the political. So they had their pulse on like what was going on politically in Jerusalem at the
time. Sure. Yeah.
So were they trying to get baptized by him, but they didn't actually believe that the Messiah was coming to that? You know what I mean? Like,
well, maybe it's like the politician who shows up with election time.
Right.
In the church.
Exactly.
Okay. Maybe that's the case. Okay. So because John had a lot of people coming to him to be baptized, mm-hmm. he had disciples, his popularity was growing. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were showing up, these Sadducees and Pharisees. Maybe it was a political move.
I think that's exactly what it is. And I think that's why John the Baptist says what he says, right? Because his baptism, sorry, I got a little bit of cigar in my mouth. His baptism was a,
you're supposed to smoke them, not eat them.
Yeah. I told that to some of our friends who nom.
You know, my father was a cigar smoker and eventually later on in life, he quit smoking them.
Cigar
he
chewer.
He just chewed them.
Yep. Yep.
He would chew them down to
sir.
The nub.
So, you know, so what I think what you said is true. I think that they were going to him politically because they knew that he was having all this sway with the people. I think that they saw that he had all these people getting baptized and they wanted to kind of show good face and get baptized
right, but
without having their hearts behind the baptism. And that's what John is saying, right?
Yeah, and he's calling them out on their hypocrisy.
Oh, and then isn't this a good apologetic for faith and works too?
Yeah.
P.S., right?
Yeah.
So this is a great apologetic line. For some of our brothers and sisters in Christ who don't think, you know, oh, just about having faith, you
right.
know, works don't matter, whatever. But John the Baptist says right here, he says, produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. As evidence for your repentance, it is not just enough to say the words. You have to do something. You have to produce good fruit.
Produce good fruit.
And then, dude, it's like condemning, isn't it? Like his following words where he says, so you just say to yourselves, oh, we have Abraham as our father, so we're good. That sounds, that is like a mirror image of what we hear in many of our,
sure,
Protestant brothers and sisters circles, right?
I believe
in Jesus Christ. So
but even Catholics fall into this.
Totally.
I'm baptized. I'm good.
I've got the golden ticket.
I've been confirmed. I'm good.
And so
what did our Lord say about that? About not producing fruit. The answer is at the tail end of this text.
Right.
Right.
Oh,
think about the, speaking of Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's John talking. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn. What is the wheat? What does wheat do? It produces fruit.
Mm-hmm.
The chaff doesn't, but the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire. Mm-hmm. It's the wheat that produces the fruit.
Exactly.
I mean, that can be clearer, you know?
Exactly.
That's powerful stuff, man. I'm telling you.
No, and it's such a good apologetic for producing good fruit. I think on the one hand, as well, is like a good apologetic for the Holy Trinity, right? Mm-hmm. Because John the Baptist is talking about the one coming mightier than him. And I loved it. You were talking about this in your homily, Father Scott, but about the Son of Man and the significance of that in the line of the prophets.
Yeah.
So he's talking about, John the Baptist is talking about Jesus Christ here when he's saying the one coming after me who is mightier than I. And then what does he say? He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay. Holy Spirit. That is so significant, right? He's identifying the Holy Trinity here as what he's doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we read on later at Jesus' baptism, how that manifests itself when Jesus is baptized. So when that's fulfilled, the words of John as a prophet, excuse me, the one who is coming, who is mightier than him is Jesus Christ. He'll baptize with the Holy Spirit. What happened to Jesus' baptism? The Holy Spirit descended like a dove on the waters, right? Mm-hmm. And then who speaks at Jesus' baptism? God the Father, this is my beloved Son for whom I am well pleased. Mm-hmm. Listen to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have this fulfillment of the Old Testament powerfully. You have John the Baptist asking for fruit, you know, give us fruit, show your repentance, you know? I think it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful apologetic, especially as we're heading into the Christmas season. So
absolutely, I agree with that. Now, I want to switch gears just a little bit, and
sure,
I want to go to the first reading.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because it's from Isaiah, it's 11, 1 through 10. Okay, so on that day, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, Spirit of wisdom and understanding and so on. But that first part, on that day, a shoot shall sprout.
It's hard to say, huh?
Shoot shall sprout.
Shoot shall sprout.
From the stump of Jesse.
That's almost like our Lord flashes flames of fire.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like that one.
Tongue twister. Okay, so this is from, Isaiah, okay?
Yep.
Jesus came, we know the Messiah came from David's line, correct?
Right.
Okay, so...
The son of David, we hear that all the time. In fact, we just heard that 2 weeks ago, right? Son of David, have pity on me. There you go.
I think it was Friday, actually.
Yeah, son of David, have pity on me. There you go.
Yeah, so there's these two blind men, and it's recorded in Matthew's gospel. So these two blind men, Jesus passed by, and these two blind men began to follow him, and they cried out, Jesus, son of David... Have pity on me.
Mm.
Okay? Have pity on us, right?
Right.
Jesus, son of David, have pity on us. Because there was two blind men. Right? So, what's going on outside? Holy smokes.
There's always something going on outside.
It's those darn life teeners making noise.
Yeah.
With all their energy.
Got all their energy.
So, okay, so you've got this, the two blind men, okay? So, we have this thing, this tradition that's kind of growing. It's called the Jesse tree. So to back up in I think it's recorded in Solomon or not Solomon, but Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
So Samuel chose Saul to be the king and anointed him king. The Lord was not pleased with that choice.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord God spoke to Samuel and said, the one I will choose is from the... offspring of Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse had 8 sons. So Samuel, okay, approached Jesse. Oh, with the car, please.
I know.
Man, so Jesse, see, it's... And you got to remember all these names.
Yeah,
and it's just it's like the baby's crying in mass tonight. I was like fighting to just, keep it together. Right? So
you got
it's like... You know, I did this. It's like doing, like, if it's the Feast of St. Augustine, I'm always saying St. Thomas Aquinas and vice versa. I'm like, I get it all discombobulated. It's crazy.
All combobulated.
Discombobulated. Okay, so anyway, so Samuel then approached Jesse and said, I want to meet your sons.
Right.
And the Lord God had told Samuel that Samuel would know the one who the Lord had chosen when he saw him. Just like, you know, when Jesus came forward to be baptized by John knew, because John, you know, he had this God communicated with John saying, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased.
Right.
So Samuel would know the son who God had chosen when he saw him.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Samuel met seven of Jesse's sons. Okay, and not one of them, he kept waiting for some sign or communication from God saying, this is the son. But there was no sign. There was no communication. So then Samuel said to Jesse, do you have any more sons? He said, yeah, I have one more. He's out tending sheep. Go get him. So the boy was brought to Samuel. And when Samuel saw the boy, God communicated, this is the one.
Yeah.
He knew instinctively, this is the son.
Yeah.
That son was David. David was chosen by God to be king. He was anointed eventually as king. Okay. So when these two boys, these two blind men, and again, we have this Old Testament prophecy that the Messiah would come from the line of David, but then this from Isaiah, this from the stump of Jesse, you know, the blossom and all of that.
Yeah.
So the two men, Matthew, first of all, includes it to show that Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecy.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, but when the two blind men cry out, Jesus, son of David, they are connecting Jesus with that Old Testament prophecy, acknowledging that Jesus is the fulfillment, that Jesus is, in fact, or the Messiah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly, exactly. And again, it's just funny. It's funny. I mean, to our ears, we hear it so often, the son of David, we hear it in our Christmas carols, all this kind of thing. And so it kind of loses its meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But again, man, and I've said this before, but that kind of stuff would have been shocking to a first century Jew, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like saying, this is the son of David. This is and you said in your homily, that's a separation of like 28, you said, I think, 28 generations.
20 some, I think 28.
That's like 1,000 years.
Yeah.
That is like 1,000 years, maybe longer, maybe greater, right? Depending on the span of lives, right? But 28 generations, so this guy descends from this anointed king, you know, who participated in the first temple, all this kind of stuff, who wrote the book of Psalms. That is such a profound testament of faith at the end of the day.
Other thing too, and I mentioned this, right? So when we look at read the book of Daniel, so there was the three men. So these three men were cast into the fiery furnace.
Right.
And at the order of the king. Why? Because these three would not turn their backs on true worship of the true God.
Right.
Okay.
The king wanted him to worship his pagan idols.
Right. And offer sacrifice.
Right.
They wouldn't do it. Okay.
Right.
So they were thrown into this fiery furnace. And the king looked into the flames, and as did the people, and they didn't see three men screaming and burning to death. They saw three men dancing around and singing praises to God. And then there was a fourth person who appeared to be the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So what is Jesus? He says of himself, I am the, you know, he identifies himself as the Son of Man.
Right.
Okay. When the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith? You must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood.
Mm-hmm.
When the Son of Man comes, he will come with great power, you know, and so on. Okay. So Jesus is now identifying himself as the one who was in the fiery furnace, who rescued those guys from the flames, who saved them, just as he saves all of us from the fires of hell.
Right.
You get this? So Jesus identifies himself and links himself to that old covenant event of the three men who were thrown into the midst of the flame. That's incredible.
And it's a great apologetic. And, you know, I mean, it's just so packed, right? It's such a great apologetic as well for this thing, this heresy that we talked about in the weeks past. People who say, oh, well, Jesus is God. He didn't fully become man. He didn't actually die on the cross, whatever. I mean, this is stuff that's been repeated over the centuries. And so, No, it's a great apologetic that Jesus Christ himself is saying, I am the Son of Man. That yes, I am the Son of God and the Son of Man. So he takes on the nature, the very nature of God being the Son of God, but he also takes on flesh from Mary, right? I mean, it's such a powerful witness to the humanity of Jesus Christ, which we're getting ready to celebrate in 2 weeks, you know?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, just awesome.
Yeah, it is incredible. So look, and the point is, look, Jesus Christ, and you know, as you know, the first two Sundays of Advent, we really focus on the second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Jesus is coming one day.
Dude, and that's right at the end of that same first reading from Isaiah. So he says, on that day, the root of Jesse set up as a signal for the nations, the Gentiles shall seek out, for his dwelling shall be glorious.
And awesome?
Right there, it is the fulfillment of the Messiah, and in a profound way too. And I think I've seen this really beautiful icon. I think there's a church in Rome that has this. If Tony was here, he could tell us what church that was. But you know, well, here we are. So,
oh, is Tony here yet? Oh, he's not here yet.
So no, you would have heard him if he was on here. But
watch him show up right when we're saying
right
goodbye.
As we finish. But so it's the root of Jesse, and it has all the prophets, everything, you know, all the prophets in the Old Testament kind of as these offshoots of the root of Jesse. But you know what the fulfillment, sprig, I forget the exact term, the shoot mm-hmm. shall sprout.
The sprig?
The sprig. So the shoot that sprouts from the root of Jesse is the cross. It's the cross, man.
Explain.
Well, the artwork literally had the stump of Jesse, this dead stump of the old covenant that was not bearing any more fruit. That mm-hmm. I mean, it was dead. It was dead. You know, the Romans in 70 AD demolished everything that was left of this, right? This worship, and that the cross became not only the fulfillment even falls short of what it actually was, right? But the fulfillment, the pinnacle, the true root of Jesse, and in that way, our King in the line of David ascended his throne of the cross, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Beautiful, right? Man. Yeah,
yeah, that's awesome. And only, by the way, God could author such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as a side note to that too, the early church fathers, you know, when they. I might have talked about this earlier podcast, but it was so long ago, you wouldn't remember. But
I don't remember.
Well, how in the, you know, the book of Genesis, there's two creation stories.
Yeah.
Okay. So then when you go to, see, we hear about the forbidden tree and right. all the trees in the garden, but then you read suddenly, I think it's in chapter 3, suddenly you hear about the tree of life that's not mentioned in the other chapters, right? So you hear about this tree of life.
Right.
Okay. And you're like, what's this? Well, when after they commit the sin, Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. they go to this tree of life to consume its fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And what God did was he stationed a cherubim. We're told a cherubim with a fiery revolving sword, stationed them in front of this tree so that when they came forward for life, which is symbolic of eternity and
right.
forever life, right? The angel put his hand out and said, do not come any closer. You've rebelled against the Lord. You may not eat the fruit of this tree. You are destined for death. Mm-hmm. Now go away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what the early church fathers taught is when Jesus died on the cross, mm-hmm. okay, that old tree, the angel, first of all, was removed. That old tree was uprooted. A new tree was planted. And that new tree is, in fact, the cross of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. And now we can eat the fruit
yes.
of that tree. We are free to come forward to eat the fruit of that tree. And what is the fruit hanging from that tree?
Jesus Christ.
And don't we, when we consume the Eucharist, do we not receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of that person, Jesus Christ?
Mm, in a real way. The Eucharist concretizes completely this mm-hmm. prophecy. Is that it's, I mean, and again, we say this a billion times, but it's worth repeating again, especially after that first article we were talking about, confusion with the Eucharist, right? It is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, and fulfills completely this Old Testament prophecy, brings it to fruition. Hey, how about that? Brings it to fruition in the New Testament. And then, you know, we can partake of that in such a profound and palatable way. And that's what St. Paul, I was just looking over too, because St. Paul also references this in the second reading. He says that For I say that Christ became a minister of the circumcised to show God's truthfulness. Of course, when he says a minister of the circumcised, he's talking about the Jewish people. So he becomes a minister of the circumcised to show God's truthfulness. God's truthfulness is significant because God is not a liar, right? Is that all these things are meant to point to Jesus Christ, to confirm the promises of the patriarchs. There we go. Isaiah, yeah. The root of Jesse, these sorts of offshoots of the root of Jesse. So that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again, Paul, as a minister to the Gentiles in a beautiful way, is saying that Jesus Christ flings open these gates, that he's not only catering to the circumcised, but catering to the Gentiles. He wants the entire world to sing his praises and, you know, come in a profound way to his manger in Bethlehem.
Yeah. Now, by the way, I'm going to, when I preach this little sermon for Our Lady of Guadalupe, I'm going to mention this because, you know, the promise was given to the Jewish people. And then, you know, it's prophesied long ago back in the Old Covenant times that, you know, with the Gentiles that the Lord was going to now invite, you know, not just Jews, but, you know, right?
Yeah.
Anglos and Africans and Asians and Celtics into his fold, into his family, right?
Exactly.
Because now the Lord was revealing that his house, his heart is a very big place, has room for all of us.
Exactly.
Right? And I'm going to tie it into, I think, with Our Lady, because she didn't just appear. You know, think about all the places around the world, Akita, Japan, okay, Africa, Lourdes, Fatima, here in the United States. Okay, I mentioned France, right?
Yeah.
Okay, to all these people. So in Mexico, to Juan Diego. So it's showing that Our Lady's heart has room for all of us. You know, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Everyone.
And that she always appears and she speaks that. So she speaks the native tongue and then she appears as one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what she did at Guadalupe. Right. She spoke, I think it was Nahuatl, the language of Juan Diego, right? She spoke Nahuatl.
I guess.
I think it was. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks he knows everything. I don't know. But yeah, she appeared, I believe, speaking Nahuatl and appeared as one of the native Indians there in Tepeyac.
Yeah.
And, you know, same thing for Akita, Japan. She appeared as a Japanese woman.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know.
And she did, I've seen icons of Our Lady of Akita. You know, and then, of course, she's famous, too, in appearing to St. Bernadette in Lourdes, saying, Je suis la Immaculata Conception. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But
boy, that was touching. I'm welling up with tears.
But it's French, right? I am the Immaculate Conception. So, you know, it's true is that our Lord... and through Our Lady as well, earnestly desires the salvation of all of mankind.
That's right. So, by the way, you're not. It's just, hey, but listen, it was a crazy weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
But listen, so if you're a person listening to this and you have a problem with group of people or you're prejudiced or racist, you better get over it quick.
Right.
You know, you better get over it quick because, it's the beauty of creation that we're all so different, but that's the beauty of it, right?
Oh, dude, 100%.
Yeah, that's the beauty.
I mean, heaven would be a boring place, you know, if it was all filled with, you know.
What? White people?
Just one race, you know what I mean? I'm serious.
Well, what if we all looked the same? What if we only had the same color of hair? What if every mountain was the same shape, the same height?
Right.
What if every cloud passing by looked exactly the same, one a carbon copy of the other?
Oh, I would lose.
Would that not be boring?
Exactly.
Right. And the other thing, too, you know, to rejoice in culture. I know we're going way off the rails with this, but culture, you know, if the Asian culture was the same as it is here, there would be no point going there.
Right. Right.
You know, the reason we go to places is to experience their culture because it's so different and so fascinating and so beautiful.
It's a tapestry, right?
That's why we go. Otherwise, there'd be no point. If Rome was just like New York City, then we would just go to New York City.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So,
No, I think I heard somebody describe it this way. It's all like, we hear in the heavenly Jerusalem, how it's adorned with gold and jewels and all this kind of thing. But like each culture, each people are almost like adding a jewel to this gate of Jerusalem, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's what makes it sparkle. So
I love too, that we're on this and then we'll wrap it up. I promise. And we take for granted because we're surrounded by, the Native American peoples, right? Mm-hmm. To the east, to the west, we've got, the Isletas over there and the Zia Pueblos over here and right. Taos Pueblos and Acoma over there, you know, and, yep. and all these right different, you know, right Pueblos and mm-hmm. so on. And we take for granted. Okay. But I love it when people come from, like, we have a couple that just moved from, well, about 2 years ago from Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we have people that move, like, say, from Ohio or wherever, and they just find so much beauty in you know, the Pueblo culture and their yeah. food and their dance, and they love it. They just drink it in. It's yeah. so fascinating to them. Unfortunately, we take it because, you know, we're around it so much
right, right.
that we just take it for granted.
Yeah.
This is how it is.
Yeah. No, you know? It's so true, man. So true.
Okay, so also true is that we're building a church, so we need your help.
How we are.
SJVNM.org. You can donate. Just go down to, you know, where it says donate to or to, you know, building fund, okay? Or capital campaign, whichever. Mm-hmm. And then you can donate to the cause, okay? Sure. And William, how can they contact us?
Yeah, you can drop us a line, holysmokes@sjvnm.org. You can reach out to us on Instagram @holysmokescatholic. We'd love to connect with you. Ooh.
Did you check to see if we got any new reviews?
We don't have any new reviews.
What?
I didn't check. I know.
We need shocking. To get up to 50.
50, hey, for the new year.
Yeah, 50 would be nice.
50.
550. I'm not sure after this particular podcast.
I know, seriously.
But, well, you know, Tony doesn't even show up.
No, I'm going to call it. I mean, I don't think Tony's coming today.
You think?
I'm calling it. I'm officially calling it.
Hey, CBS News projects.
We're thinking. I don't know. The final votes haven't been cast yet.
Tony's a no-show. No-show Tony.
Oh, man.
No-show Tony.
Well, thanks to our five listeners for making it through this podcast. I know I feel stronger for doing it, so.
I had fun. I don't know.
No, it was a good time. I made you yawn. Did you have fun?
Well, no, it's just because I'm tired. But I've been up since, you know, the wee hours of the morning. But, you know, I'm having a blast, and I get to smoke a Padron.
Hey, it's a good Sunday, man.
Yeah, it's a great Sunday.
Praise God.
Okay, so next week, I think we're going to have Deacon Dave Little.
Okay.
Elvis.
Hey, man.
So I think, if not, we're going to have George Meyerson Jr. Yeah. on, who has a degree, I think, in philosophy or theology.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Hey, that's more than I have.
Then we'll bring in some more guests.
It'll be fun, yeah.
Maybe we can get Nimchek.
Spice up the conversation.
Get old Nimchek in here.
Father Michael.
Yeah.
Good dude. All right.
Okay.
Cool,
say
guys.
Goodbye, Mr. William.
Goodbye, Mr. William.
Say goodbye, Tony. Tony? Tony?
Anywhere? Bueller? Bueller.
Bueller.
Yeah. Wilhelmitis. Yeah. Wilhelmitis.
Adios, amigos.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.